Before we get started, we studied a study with Morgan a couple of weeks ago. This Friday night, he had one of his friends with him that came to that study. With that, he brought the Bible. His grandfather, he lives with his grandfather, he's a holiness preacher. And so we sat down and had a study, I guess, for about an hour, and we covered a lot of things as far as authority is. And he kept saying, "I've never heard anything like that." I think Donnie made that same reference. When you study somebody that has not knows any difference, that's all they know. But he said, "I've never heard anything like that." If you notice, he was on the back pew with Morgan this morning. And he said, "I've never been in a service like that." So he says now he wants to come next Friday, he wants to come next Sunday. So keep him in your prayers if you will on that. Thank Ryan for the good scripture reading. Thank Chris for prayer on my behalf. If again, let's just refresh our mind, turn back to Luke chapter 18, the parable there concerning the wicked judge. You have a similar parable in Luke chapter 11 concerning the lady as far as wanting food. So they're similar in a way, but we'll read this once more. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he said, and he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his only elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man come, shall he find faith on the earth. And the main passage in that is in verse 5, that this woman continued to come to him, wearied him. When you look, just shortly mentioned, I mentioned before, these TV evangelists that preach prosperity gospels. One of them is Robert Tilton. You may be aware of who he is. I've often heard him say, if you pray to God in faith, something you desire, you will receive if you ask by faith. He then goes on that what you ask could be a new car, a new job, or et cetera, stuff like that. That you will receive what you want, what you ask for. Many of the TV evangelists likewise say the same thing. Reference, if you want the physical things of this life, just ask in faith. Well, we can pray for health, but that does not mean God's going to give us health. We can pray for a lot of things, a new home, a car, whatever. That does not mean God's going to give those physical things to us. He is a spiritual God. We are his spiritual people. He's going to answer our prayers according to what we pray in the Spirit, for the Spirit be given to us. And we'll see that, if you will, as we go. I know of no verse in Scripture that says this, that God answers physical things of the physical nature, that he gives those things to people. Does God answer prayers? Yes. All prayers? No. So we need to keep this in mind. Sometimes we ourselves may not fully understand the prayers that God answers and those that he does not answer. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus, in praying to his Father, stated, O Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, not as I will, but as thy will. Did the cup pass from Christ? No, I think Donnie brought that in one of his lessons a little while back. So Jesus understands in his prayers things will be done according to the Father's will and why he did not answer Christ's prayers. Christ, God has his will. In the prayer that Jesus prayed, it was not according to his will. Things we ask for today, we don't receive, it's not according to his will. We have to understand that concerning our Heavenly Father. We pray for a lot of things today, and we can all agree, not all prayers we pray are answered by God. We pray for the sick, yet sometimes they're not healed. Yet they survive sicknesses. Some of them do, some of them don't. But the prayers are still made to God on their behalf. And God knows what's best for us. In verse 1 of this, that men always ought to pray and faint, and not to faint. And again, that similar parable in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, about a friend going at midnight and asking for 3 loaves of bread. Did he receive them? Yes, and the similarity in these two parables is that they were consistent in what they were asking for. Now that does not mean if we're consistent in our prayers asking things of God that He's going to give them to us. But in these two parables, it's recorded that it was. We are told of this judge's character when you go back to chapter 18. Verse 2, who feared not God, neither regarded man. The widow's petition to him was, avenge me of my adversaries. Verse 3 and verse 4 states the judge would not for a while avenge her, but due to her persistence, he finally gave her what she was desiring. She was continually persistent. Always be persistent in her prayers? Yes. But still, that does not mean God is going to answer those prayers. Verse 5 states, because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Troubleth means to crowd from every side or to press. That's Strong's definition. Vine states that the word means to embarrass a person by distracting his attention or to give adversary to anxiety. A continual coming. You're trying to distract him from his job to listen to you. And that's what she was doing. Strong states to me, and to the end, she was not going to give up. It's the same with our prayer today. Do we give up if we think God did not answer a prayer that should have been answered? No. She's an example, if you will, to us, how our prayers are to be. It's to be a continual plea to God. It is evident what the judge says concerning this widow. She had not been equaled by anyone, by her endless and unyielding appeal. In other words, no one had ever stayed and asked for this like this widow had. He said, she's the only one that's ever done that. And so he finally yielded to her want or her need. Appears that everywhere he went, she was there. Wording unyielding here means cannot be swayed, unlikely to change mind, hard or solid. And she was not going to change her mind until she got what she wanted. And that we can't take that's going to happen to us, that God's going to answer that. But I think that what we're trying to get from this, we ought to be persistent in our prayers to God. The result was, in verse 5, he granted her justice. He said, I will avenge her. The attitude of the judge does not represent the attitude of God towards his children. Even though it can be sometimes appear to a struggling Christian that the Lord is unheeding and not paying attention, God hears our prayers. There's not a prayer that is prayed by Christians throughout the world that God does not hear. But keep in mind, that don't mean he's going to answer that prayer. It is something that we have to accept and we keep on praying. Sometimes it might be something we pray, God answers. Now, there's a lot of prayers went out for Brother Ray at his surgery and the cancer. I think that prayer was answered. But some of them are not. Some that struggle with physical ailments, they're not answered. We must also struggle with the fact that in this parable, persistence in prayer is said to bring about a desired answer. Christ said in Luke 11, verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. In that parable there. We need to understand how God answers prayers. Paul prayed 3 times to have the thorn in his flesh removed in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8. But the Lord will not give his children a stone instead of bread. If you look at Luke chapter 11 and verse 11, no matter how steadfastly we beseech him, he's not going to give us something bad. It's just what we need is something good, even though he hears a prayer. If a son shall ask for bread, of any of you that is a father, you will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? Our Father will give us in our prayers something that we need. Okay? It's only what we need. We don't need to think that what I pray, well, he'll answer it some way. And although they may be spiritual prayers, they may not get answered. It's something we need to realize with. Is our God deserting us? No. Did he desert Christ on the cross? Well, he didn't take him down from the cross, and Christ prayed to pay the price. But he paid that price because of God's love for us. And that's why we need to keep in mind. That's why he did not take Christ down from the cross. He had to pay that sacrifice because God loved us. And through his Son, we could have the reconciliation that we need. The good gifts of God do not include all that we ask for, but all of that which serves our salvation in the kingdom. That's the prayers that he answers. The preservation of our salvation in the kingdom. If we pray that, God answers that. Anything that does not serve God's eternal purpose for us will be withheld. He don't answer those prayers. The only prayers he answers is that our salvation be in the kingdom. And those he answers on our behalf. This is our assurance that all seek salvation in Christ will find it. All that ask for the true bread will receive it. All that knock for entrance into heaven's kingdom will find the door open. Our seeking the kingdom must not be half-hearted and the knocking indifferent. Can't get a piece of the paper apart here much. God will not give us those things who do not seek him earnestly and with a whole heart. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And this is to be our goal. That's what we seek in life above all things else that God has given us. Our prayers and our faith must be unyielding. They will be continually. Now this widow that came seeking bread, and the one that went to the judge must be unyielding. And those two parables are a good example of what we are to be. If you're here tonight and you've not obeyed the gospel, God has granted you life. He's granted you the opportunity to be here. He's given you the opportunity to correct the sins in your life through baptism. If you've heard the word, you believe the word, and you're willing to confess that Jesus Christ is God's Son, you're willing to be baptized in the water grave of baptism, as Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6, where Christ's blood is contacted, you can do that, and you become a child of God. Or if you've done that, and you've fallen away, and you went back to the world serving Satan, you need to come back, where God can once again can be your Father, one who protects you in all things from the devil, if you follow his word. If you accept the gospel call, we invite you to come, but together we stand and sing.